Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala khatamin nabiyyin, amma ba'd. Fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Golden Words of Imam Ghazali Rahmatullahi Alayhi, Part 2. Attar's Prayer. O Allah, whoever reads or listens to the booklet, Golden Words of Imam Ghazali, purify their heart from the love of this world and the ill effects of sins, and grant them, along with their parents and family, entry into Jannatul Firdaus without accountability. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Virtues of Salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, whoever sends salat upon me 3 times during the day and 3 times during the night out of longing and love, Allah will forgive his sins for that day and night. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Types of scholars. There are 3 types of scholars. Number 1. Those who destroy themselves and others. These are the ones who openly encourage people to pursue worldly gains and be preoccupied with the world. Number 2. Those who are successful themselves and become a means of success for others. These are the ones who call people towards Allah outwardly and inwardly. Number 3. Those who destroy themselves but become a means of success for others by calling them towards the hereafter. They appear to have abandoned the world, but in their hearts they still desire popularity and status amongst people. Polytheists are impure. It is mentioned in the Holy Quran, indeed, the polytheists are impure. Their spiritual state is impure, even if their physical appearance is clean. Etiquettes of a student. The etiquettes of a student are as follows. Number 1. Purify the heart from bad character and qualities. Number 2. Try to avoid worldly distractions as much as possible. Number 3. Not to become arrogant about knowledge. Number 4. Initially, not to focus on people's disagreements. Number 5. Strive to learn every discipline and branch of beneficial knowledge. Number 6. Observe the proper order of learning and begin with the most important. Number 7. After completing one field, move on to another. Number 8. Recognize the means that lead to superior knowledge. Number 9. Purify the heart. Number 10. Try to understand the purpose of seeking knowledge. Give everything to knowledge. Knowledge will not give you even a small part of itself until you give everything to it. When you give your all, you will receive some of it. Identifying knowledge and action. Knowledge is perceived with the inner eyes, whilst action is seen with the outer eyes. Etiquettes of a teacher. The etiquettes of a teacher are as follows. Number 1. The teacher should be kind to students and treat them like his own children. Number 2. The teacher should follow the example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and should not seek payment for teaching knowledge. Number 3. He should spare no effort in giving advice to students. Number 4. Discourage students from bad character through subtle hints and indirect methods as much as possible, rather than explicit reprimand. I repeated scolding diminishes respect. Number 5. He should not instill dislike for other sciences in the student's heart. Number 6. He should only teach what the student can understand and avoid matters beyond their intellectual capacity. Number 7. If a student is slow in understanding, the teacher should explain things in a clear and accessible manner. Number 8. The teacher should act upon his knowledge so his words and actions are consistent. Action is necessary. Sayyidina Imam Khalil bin Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi said, "People are of four types. Number 1. One who has knowledge and knows that he has knowledge. He is a scholar, so follow him. Number 2. One who has knowledge but does not realize that he has knowledge. Such a person is asleep, so wake him up. Number 3. One who has no knowledge but knows that he does not have knowledge. Such a person is a seeker of guidance, so guide him. Number 4. One who does not have knowledge and does not realize that he has no knowledge. Such a person is ignorant, so leave him." Knowledge calls for action. Sayyiduna Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi said, "Knowledge calls for action. If it is heard, then it is fine. Otherwise, knowledge departs." Fear of pride. Sayyiduna Bishr Hafi rahmatullahi alayhi buried more than 10 bags and baskets of books. He said, "I wish to narrate hadith, but I will only do so when the desire to narrate them is gone. Even the sincere are fearful." Sayyiduna Sahal bin Abdullah Tustari rahmatullahi alayhi said, "Those who are sincere fear what their end will be." Knowledge is of three types. It is mentioned in a blessed hadith, knowledge is of three types. Number 1. The Holy Quran. Number 2. The established Sunnah. And number 3. Saying, "I do not know. I do not know." Sayyiduna Imam Shabi'i rahmatullahi alayhi said, "La adri, I do not know, is half of knowledge. If someone does not know an answer and refrains from responding, he does not receive less reward than the one who gives an answer, because admitting one's lack of knowledge is very difficult for the ego." Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, "La adri, I do not know, is a shield for a scholar, because if he gives an incorrect ruling on a religious matter, he will be ruined." Sign of a person with more knowledge. Sayyiduna Abu Sulaiman rahmatullahi alayhi said, "Ma'rifat, the recognition of Allah Almighty, is closer to remaining silent than to speak. It is narrated that when knowledge increases, speech decreases, and when speech increases, knowledge decreases." Virtue of acting upon knowledge. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Whoever acts upon their knowledge, Allah will grant them knowledge which they do not possess. It is written in previous scriptures, 'O Bani Israel, do not say that knowledge is in the heavens and who will bring it down to earth, nor say that knowledge is deep within the earth and who will bring it up, nor say that it is across the ocean and who will cross the ocean to bring it. Rather, knowledge has been placed in your hearts. Learn spiritual etiquette before me, i.e. Allah. Adopt the character of the pious servants, and I will place such abundant knowledge in your hearts that it will envelop you." The means of acquiring knowledge. The fourth caliph of Islam, Sayyiduna Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu said, "Most knowledge is gained by consistently acting upon it and through constant striving. Allah Almighty is watching." A person should observe proper etiquette in all of their affairs, even when alone. Just as someone would when sitting before a great king whilst the king is watching him. Such a person bows their head, conducts his affairs with respect, and avoids everything contrary to proper etiquette. Similarly, when one is certain that Allah Almighty, the All-Knowing and All-Aware, is fully aware of the hidden affairs, just as people are aware of their outer affairs. They will become careful about their inner state, just as they are about their outer conduct. In fact, they will strive even more to beautify and purify their inner self than they do to adorn their appearance for people. Beneficial knowledge. It is reported, Allah grants hilm, i.e. forbearance, humility, good character, and gentleness to the person He grants knowledge to. This is beneficial knowledge. Example of the soul and body. The soul is like a rider and the body is like the mount. It is more harmful for the rider to be blind than for the mount to be blind. 70 veils of light. Knowledge of the soul and the secrets of Allah Almighty's attributes is beyond the grasp of ordinary people. This hadith perhaps alludes to it. Allah has 70 veils of light. If He were to remove them, His rays of splendor would burn everything in sight. More than 70 degrees. There are more than 70 degrees of faith, the lowest of which is removing something harmful from the road. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Alayhi explains, removing a stone, brick, piece of wood, or anything else that may cause people to trip is a rewardable act. Similarly, benefiting creation carries great reward, including giving them water. This is why some people build public drinking water stations. Feeling proud when praised. The great saint of the Qadiriyya Razaviyya Attariyya spiritual order, Sayyiduna Sari Saqati Rahmatullahi Alayhi said, if a person enters a garden containing every kind of tree with every kind of bird upon them, and each bird speaks to him in its own language, saying, peace be upon you, O friend of Allah. If his nafs feels pleased upon hearing this, due to pride, he is a prisoner of those birds. When is faith lost? The companion of the Prophet, Sayyiduna Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, by Allah, whoever does not fear a bad end will have a bad end. Punishment of a bad end. It is narrated that the punishment for some sins is a bad end. We seek Allah Almighty's protection from them. It is said that the sin which leads to a bad end is falsely claiming sainthood and miracles. The hidden plan of Allah Almighty and dying with faith. An Arif Billah, i.e. a saint, rahmatullahi alayh, who recognizes Allah, said, if I were to find death upon faith at the door of my private room, whilst martyrdom awaited me at the main entrance, even though martyrdom is a loftier rank, I would immediately choose death upon faith at the door of my room. For who knows whether my heart might change before I reach the main entrance of the building. Madani Pearl. The heart is called Qalb because it is constantly changing, ay munqalib. At night the heart says, from tomorrow I will devote myself to worship and spiritual striving. But by morning the heart changes and drags one into the swamp of sins. Sometimes the heart trembles with the fear of Allah Almighty and tears flow from the eyes. At other times, such determination to commit sins takes hold that Allah Almighty's protection is sought. The heart is sometimes like a mountain and sometimes like a small seed. If only we are granted steadfastness in protecting our faith, And if only the longing to die with faith intact in a state of well-being outweighed the desire for an easy life in this world. 4 degrees of purity. There are 4 degrees of purity. Number 1. Purifying the body from impurities and filth. Number 2. Purifying the limbs from sins and disobedience. Number 3. Purifying the heart from bad character and bad habits. Number 4. Keeping the inner self pure from everything besides Allah. This is the purity of the prophets, alayhimu salatu wassalam, and the siddiqeen, i.e. the awliya, rahmahumullah. The first 4 innovations, i.e. bid'at. It is reported that after the apparent passing of the prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the first 4 innovations to appear were number 1, the sieve, number 2, ushnan, a type of herb used for cleansing, similar to soap, number 3, high dining tables, and number 4, eating one's fill. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi states, using ushnan is commendable because washing for the sake of cleanliness is recommended, and ushnan provides greater purity. As for the fact that it was not used during the time of the Prophet, the reasons could be that it was not customary in those days, it was not available, or the companions radiallahu anhum were occupied with matters more important than placing extra emphasis on cleanliness. This does not stop it from being a recommended act of washing. Regarding the second innovation, sifting flour before cooking is done to improve the quality of the food, and this is mubah, i.e. permissible to do it or leave it. Eating at a table is also mubah, provided it is not done out of pride or arrogance. However, eating until one is full is the most severe of these, because it stirs up desires and becomes a cause of illness. Note, remember, although eating on a dining mat is better, eating at a table or while seated on a chair is not forbidden or disliked. The fact that these 4 practices appeared after the apparent passing of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam does not mean they are forbidden. The rule is, an innovation is forbidden if it contradicts an established sunnah or abolishes a ruling of sharia, whilst the reason for that ruling still exists. Sometimes, when circumstances change, introducing a new practice even becomes necessary. For example, food is placed on a table simply to raise it and make eating easier, and there is no dislike in such matters. Cleaning of the ears. After having a bath, one should remove any wax from the ear canals, as it can sometimes impair hearing. The dirt beneath the nails is called uff, and the dirt under the ears is called tuff. Allah says in the Holy Quran, Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ. One interpretation of this verse is that you should not cause your parents even as much discomfort as the annoyance you feel from the dirt beneath your nails. A traveller on the path to the hereafter. A traveller on the path of the hereafter sees everything as a lesson and a reminder of the hereafter. Allah Almighty likes odd numbers. Odd numbers are superior to even numbers because Allah Almighty is Witr. Odd is number or one, and He likes odd numbers. Therefore, it is not appropriate that a person's actions should lack any correspondence with the attributes of Allah. For example, when applying coal, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would apply 3 strokes to the right eye and 2 strokes to the left eye, so that the total number would be odd, i.e. 5. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi explains, if it is asked why only 2 strokes were applied to the left eye, even though 2 is an even number, the answer is that it was done out of necessity. If an odd number of strokes were applied to each eye, the total would become even. Therefore, observing an odd total in the complete action is preferable to observing an odd number in each individual part. The light of a believer. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam forbade plucking out white hairs and said, huwa nurul mu'min, meaning this is the light of a believer. Explanation: plucking white hair is equivalent to dyeing them black, and the reason for its dislike has already been mentioned. White hair is a light from Allah, and turning away from them is like turning away from His light. 2 freedoms. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam stated, whoever prays in congregation for 40 days whilst attaining the opening takbir, 2 freedoms will be written for him, one from the fire and the other from hypocrisy. Explanation: Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi writes regarding this hadith, through the blessing of this action, such a person will be protected from the deeds of the hypocrites in this world, will attain sincerity, and will be saved from the punishment in the grave and the hereafter. Grief over missing the opening takbir. It is narrated that if one of the pious predecessors, rahmahumullah, missed the first takbir, ay takbir-e-ula, of the congregational prayer, they grieved for 3 days. If they missed the congregational prayer entirely, they felt sorrow for 7 days. The first takbir, ay saying Allahu Akbar, at the start of the prayer is called takbir-e-ula, and it is also known as takbir-e-tahreema. Increase your supplications. Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reports, a person is closest to Allah Almighty whilst prostrating, so increase your supplications during it. 7 things from Satan. It is mentioned in a hadith that 7 things in prayer are from Satan. Number 1, a nosebleed. Number 2, drowsiness. Number 3, satanic whispers. Number 4, yawning. Number 5, scratching. Number 6, looking around. And number 7, playing with something. Nothing gained but hardship. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, many people stand in prayer at night, but they gain nothing from their standing except staying awake. Inner qualities that perfect the prayer. The inner qualities needed to perfect the prayer are, number 1, presence of heart. Number 2, understanding. Number 3, respect. Number 4, awe. Number 5, hope. And number 6, modesty. The Imam of Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi writes, the perfection, light and beauty of prayer depend upon understanding, reflection and presence of heart, i.e. khushu. This means that the highest level of prayer is the one performed with khushu. Lowering the gaze. The great Tabi'i saint, Sayyiduna Rabi bin Khaytham rahmatullahi alayhi, also kept his head and eyes lowered to such an extent that some people thought he was blind. For 20 years, he visited the home of Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Whenever the maidservant of Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu saw him coming, she would say, "Your blind friend has arrived." Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu would smile upon hearing this. Whenever Sayyiduna Rabi bin Khaytham rahmatullahi alayhi knocked on the door and the maid servant came out, she saw him with his head and eyes lowered. Seeing him this way, Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu would say, "By Allah, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam saw you, he would be happy with you." In another narration, it is said that he would have liked him, and in another that he would have smiled upon seeing him. Better than 60 years of worship. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "One day of a just ruler is better than 60 years of worship." Shortening the prayer. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "When any of you leads people in prayer, keep it short, because amongst them may be the weak, the elderly, and those who have work and responsibilities." Explanation. The meaning of a shortened prayer is that it should be brief while still completing all its pillars, obligatory acts and sunnahs. It does not mean, Allah forbid, that the pillars are not performed. As Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi writes, the meaning of a shortened prayer is not that the sunnahs should be abandoned or that they should not be performed properly. Rather, it means that the pillars of the prayer should not be prolonged unnecessarily, but should be performed sufficiently, such as reciting the tasbih whilst bowing and prostrating 3 times. Etiquettes of Friday. Number 1. Start preparing for Friday from Thursday, and after Asr, engage in supplication and seeking forgiveness, as this time coincides with the special hour of Friday. Number 2. Adorn oneself. Number 3. Go to the masjid early. Number 4. Observe the etiquettes of entering the masjid. Number 5. Show respect to those present. Number 6. Try to secure a place in the first row. Number 7. Observe the etiquettes of the sermon, i.e. khutbah. Number 8. Observe the etiquettes of the Friday prayer. Number 9. Remain in the masjid. Less grief and more intellect. Imam Muhammad bin Idris Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi said, "Whoever keeps his clothes clean, his sorrows will decrease, and whoever applies fragrance, his intellect will increase." 3 deeds. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "There are 3 deeds which, if people knew the reward for, they would ride upon camels to attain them." Number 1. The call to prayer, i.e. adhan. Number 2. The first row. And number 3. Going early for the Friday prayer. Beholding Allah Almighty. It is said that at the time of seeing Allah Almighty, those who go early for the Friday prayer will be the closest to Him. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu once arrived very early at the masjid on a Friday. He found that 3 people were there before him. Upon seeing this, he radiallahu anhu became sad. Protection from Satan for the entire week. After completing the Friday prayer, without speaking to anyone, one should recite Surah Al-Fatiha, Surah Al-Ikhlas and the Mu'awwazatain, i.e. Surah Al-Falaq and Surah An-Nas, 7 times each. It is narrated from some pious predecessors, rahmahumullah, that whoever does this will be protected from one Friday to the next, and this serves as a means of protection from Satan. Supplication for independence from creation and gaining sustenance. After the Friday prayer, it is recommended to recite اللهم يا غني يا حميد يا مبدئ يا معيد يا رحيم يا ودود أغنني بحلالك عن حرامك وبفضلك عمن سواك. Meaning, O Allah, O Self-Sufficient One, O Praiseworthy One, O Originator, O Restorer, O Merciful One, O Loving One, make me independent of the haram through what you have made halal, and independent of everyone besides you through your grace. It is narrated that whoever recites this supplication consistently, Allah Almighty will make them independent of creation and grant them sustenance from sources they could not even imagine. One should dedicate the entire day of Friday for the hereafter, avoid worldly distractions, and increase the recitation of litanies. Virtue of congregational prayer. The second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, said, "If you do not find your brothers in the prayer, search for them. If they are sick, visit them. If they are healthy, scold them." Scold means to warn them about neglecting the congregational prayer, and one should not be careless in this matter. Virtue of the four sunnahs of Zuhr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Whoever prays four rak'at after zawal, i.e. after the sun has passed its zenith, recites properly and bows and prostrates, 70,000 angels pray with him and seek forgiveness for him until the night." The best deed. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "The most beloved deed to Allah is that which is done consistently, even if it is a small amount." Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi says, "A consistent deed, even if small, is good, whereas an occasional major deed is not as good." The Sufis say that once you start reciting salats and litanies, you should not abandon them. These deeds should continue until the tongue becomes silent and death arrives. This teaching is derived from this hadith. Offering nafil prayers when entering or leaving the home. It is recommended, ay mustahab, to offer two rak'at of nafil prayer when entering and leaving the home. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "When you leave your home, offer two units of prayer, for they will protect you from leaving for an evil purpose. And when you enter your home, offer two units of prayer, for they will protect you from an evil entry. Seek blessings in every task by starting with Allah Almighty's name." Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi writes, "Some pious predecessors, rahmahumullah, would perform two rak'at of prayer before eating or drinking anything. Similarly, whenever any matter came their way, they would perform two rak'at." There are three levels to this. Number one, some tasks are done repeatedly, such as eating and drinking. These should start with tasmiyah, i.e. bismillah. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Every important task that does not start with bismillahir rahmanir rahim remains incomplete." Number two, some tasks are not done repeatedly but are important, such as getting married, giving advice and consultation. In such cases, it is recommended to begin with the praise of Allah Almighty, ay hamd. It was the habit of the companions, radiallahu anhum, that whenever they sent a message or offered advice, they started with the praise of Allah Almighty. Number three, tasks that are not repeated frequently but are long-lasting are also considered important. Examples include traveling, buying a new house, or tying the ihram. Therefore, it is recommended to pray two rak'at before undertaking such matters. The lowest level of this is entering or leaving the home, as this is also a type of short journey. Cure for stinginess. The habit of stinginess can be overcome by becoming accustomed to spending wealth. Love for something can only be removed when a person forces the nafs to give it up until doing so becomes a habit. Unique way of giving voluntary charity secretly. A group of scholars took great care to conceal their voluntary charity, to the extent that they tried to ensure the recipient did not recognize the giver. Some would place their charity into the hand of a blind person. Others would leave it where a poor person regularly sat, so that he would find it without seeing who gave it. Some would tie it to the clothes of a poor person, whilst others would send it through someone else, instructing the intermediary not to reveal the identity of the donor. The consequence of a wealthy person not spending in the path of Allah Almighty. Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu narrates, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was sitting in the shade of the Kaaba. I went to him, and upon seeing me he said, by the Lord of the Kaaba, they suffer great loss. I asked, who are they? He replied, those who possess abundant wealth but do not spend it before them, behind them, to their right and to their left. And such people are very few. Whoever owns camels, cows or goats but does not pay zakat, those animals will come on the day of judgment larger and healthier than before. They will gore him with their horns and trample him with their hooves. When the last one passes, the first one will return, and this will continue until judgment has been passed amongst the people. Qutb al-Awliya, Shaykh Abdullah Idrus rahmatullahi alayhi said, I studied Ihya al-Ulum for many years. I would read a single letter again and again and reflect upon it. And each day, great secrets and knowledge appeared before me that I did not have before. If Allah were to bring the deceased back to life, they would advise the living with the teachings found in Ihya al-Ulum. It is reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam appeared in a dream, examined every page of the book Ihya al-Ulum and said, by Allah, this is very good. Similarly, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr and Sayyiduna Umar radiyallahu anhuma also saw it and said the same. It is further narrated that a person who used to criticize this book was punished. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.